Praise the Lord. Thankful to be back home again. And it's good to look out and see all your faces. And, I was hoping to see a whole lot more faces today. And but the Lord knows. Amen. I know Brother Paul and Sister Susie have been out of town. I saw them last Sunday. They were up in where I was last Sunday. So they've been up that way visiting in Holmes County and different places. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer before we turn to the scripture this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here this morning, Lord. Lord, you, God, knowing all things, Lord, you knew who would be able to be here today and who wouldn't, Lord. But God, I pray, Father, that may the same Holy Spirit that sweeps through this building this morning while we speak presently, Lord, will also, Father, sweep for those, Lord, that listen over the internet later, Father. I pray, dear God, that you will speak to us today, dear God. Father, help us, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. If you could turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5, and I want to read verses 4 and 5. What I want to speak on this morning, this is definitely going to be a part one, is overcoming. Overcoming. We all want to know how to overcome, don't we? Amen. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? You may be seated. There's not a one of us here that doesn't realize that we have things that we've tried to overcome, and many times perhaps we fail, and we wonder, how can I overcome this? And so there's got to be a way, and if God's had to provide a way to overcome. And what we've just read here in 1 John chapter 5 is, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. So there's an ingredient that you've got to have in order to overcome. And that is, you've got to be born of God. Turn me to John chapter 3. We'll read a very familiar scripture here this morning. John chapter 3. Begin at verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So Jesus saying here, you must be born again. And I want to tell you, if you're going to overcome, you've got to be born again. You've got to have the Holy Ghost. You'll never overcome without the Holy Ghost. Let's look at another familiar scripture in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, I want to begin reading at verse 21. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him, and overcome him, he taketh away him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divided his spoils. He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth. Amen. So the thing I want to point out before we read on is that you've got to have something that's greater than anything you're going to come up against. And that something that's greater is God. You've got to have God dwelling in your soul. The Bible says greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. But if he's not in you, then you've got nothing greater in you. And if you don't, then there's always going to be something the devil's going to send your way that's going to overcome you. And when it does, then all the armor that you thought you had, all the overcoming you thought you had, it's gone from you. All the power you thought you had. You know, people get to trusting in different things. They get to trusting in something they felt at church. They get to trusting in something they felt on their spirit. They get to trusting in emotion. How they you know, people get into the presence of God in a service and their emotions get to riding high. You can't trust in that because Satan's always got something stronger than that. There's only one thing that's going to hold you, and that is the Holy Ghost. And listen here what Jesus goes on and says in verse 24. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Now, we live, we know, in the Laodicean church age. It's the last church age. And it's the greatest age of all because it's the age of blending from time into eternity. It's the last age. It's the end of everything. And so it's great, but it's also the hardest age. It, in other ages, say, perhaps when they had to give their life for what they believed. Why, you know, they stood the test, they give their life, and it was over. It was done. It was, the test came, and bam, it was over and done. And the next one moment, they're standing there taking the test, and the next moment, they're standing in the presence of Almighty God. But this age, it's a constant battle. It's not just a one-time thing. It's a constant battle every day. And the thing we've got to battle is, we've got to battle our own complacency. We've got to battle our own laziness. We've got to battle our own selves. We've got to battle our own self-will. Because we're still in this flesh. Now, we live in the age of the personal life of Jesus Christ also. The age when the chemical from his body, that what was in him, has actually come into the presence of the bride. We know there's three stages. There's justification. Justification's being called, and then under justification, you know, why, that's when you come and you're baptized in water. And then after that, then there's a sanctifying time when the Spirit of God comes and burns out the desires, burns out and cleans up everything. And that's what this scripture is actually talking about. It's talking about when the unclean spirits went out of a house. And that house is talking about is you, your body, your you. When it's went out, then, you know, you come through justification and you're baptized. Then sanctification, you're cleaned up. But then if you don't get the house filled, then this spirit comes back. Because it's walking in dry places, it can't find a place to rest. And so it says, I think I'll go back to the house I came out of and I'll see how things are going. And it gets back and it finds this individual all cleaned up. baptized in the name of Jesus, but don't have the Holy Ghost. God is not occupying the house. So what it finds is, according to Scripture, it finds the house empty. And when it finds the house empty, then there's nothing to prevent it from going back in there. That's why you find people that'll come and they'll get baptized and they'll give up this habit and they'll give up that habit and they'll get cleaned up from this and they'll get cleaned up from that. And it seems like they're going along pretty good for a while. And then the next thing you know, they're right back out there again doing the same things. Why? Because they didn't come to the third stage of getting the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Jesus actually living on the inside. Now, Brother Branham, he likens the having the Holy Ghost, the indwelling of the life of Jesus Christ as a typepost. And years ago, I was down in Florida preaching, and I went in to someone's house, and they happened to have this message laying there, and it was the message, "And knoweth it not." And I picked it up and started reading it, so I asked the people I was staying with, I said, "You know, do you mind if I have this book? I want to finish reading it." And I found some answers in there that answered questions that I had. So I want to share those with you this morning. Here, Brother Branham, this is in paragraph 171 of "And Knoweth It Not." He says, "Looky here. Here's a little lady twisting herself down the street. And here's a young fella, his eyes catches it. And he's a member of the church. He's a Pentecostal. He's whatever he is. But the first thing you know, there's no hold post in there. And she says hello, and he's got curly hair and kind of nice-looking, straight-shouldered young fella. Maybe trying to live right. And she starts walking up to him, even if he's a preacher. The first thing you know, this out here, the flesh desire. And he says, then the spirit down here," now he's talking about not the Holy Spirit, but he's talking about in your spirit. "The spirit down here, yet anointed, saying, don't do it, don't do it. But what will it do? It'll move right around there and hold, and there it goes. The first thing you know, he's trying to make a date with her. But a genuine born again son of God, you can't do it yourself. It's totally impossible, red-blooded male, to walk before a female like that without something taking place. But when there's something on the inside, that little born again, something in here, though the man might have shouted, spoken in tongues, jumped, danced, everything else, anointed with the Spirit, done all signs and wonders that God said there would be by his Spirit. But remember, Jesus said, many will come to me in that day and said, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name? Have I not cast out devils in your name? Have I not? And he would say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity." What is iniquity? Something you know to do and don't do it. Amen. "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I didn't even know you. I never knew you," the Bible says. That knowing is actually having a personal relationship with God. But down on the inside of that man, if that little typos is there, I don't care what takes place, it holds him. It's there to stay. That's why we find, and this answered a question I had, you know, seeing preachers that fail. And I wonder, well, how can that be? What happened? I'll tell you what happened. They might have been a preacher. They may have been anointed, but they never had the Holy Ghost. Because if they had the Holy Ghost, they would have had a typepost to hold them in through that temptation. It's not to say they wouldn't have been tempted. We're tempted. But if you've got that born again on the inside, the Holy Ghost, the typepost, then you've got something to hold you. Without that, You've got nothing to hold you. And that's why you find people that come in, like we said a few moments earlier, you know, and they get all cleaned up and they're praising God and they're shouting, they're dancing, they're singing, everything else, you know, they're testifying. And the next thing you know, they're right back out the door. What is it? They never got the tie post. They never got a hold of something on the inside, real experience with God on the sacred sands of your own heart. To have an experience, met the pillar of fire. Met God like Moses did in the burning bush. Met God in their heart and had a real experience. If a person ever has that real, genuine experience with God, then they've got something to hold them. Why? Something's happened on the inside, and you know it's happened on the inside. And you're in God and He's in you, and you've got, what is it? You and God have become one. You're tied together. Now, sometimes people get to thinking when you get the Holy Ghost, you no longer have temptations. That's wrong. People get to thinking, well, once I get the Holy Ghost, I won't feel this no more. I won't be battling this no more. Until you got the Holy Ghost, you weren't battling nothing. You were just floating along with the rest of the trash. Temptation come and you just floated right along on with it. But you know, people get to think, well, I'm a good moral person. I never cheated on my wife. I never done this. I never done drugs. I never done this. You were still a sinner. And though you might not, see, those things might not have been your temptation. That's the whole thing. It ain't that the person is so good. It's those things weren't their temptation. Sometimes their temptation is pride. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You know, Abraham, friends, Abraham, you look at his life, Abraham had battles. He had things to battle. He may not have battled the same things you did. But it was still a trying of his faith. And that's the thing with you. Everyone sitting here this morning, no doubt, have different things, one from another, that they battle, that they're tempted by. And the one thing that might tempt one wouldn't tempt the other at all. It's because we're all made up different. We have different desires and wants, and our flesh is not the same. God didn't just stamp us out of one mold. Everyone's different. You know, some people like catfish. And some people say, well, I'd rather have steak. And there's some people that don't like steak and like chicken. Now, I know those things are in the natural, but if you apply that in the spiritual or on into the nature of your being, you find out people are different. So that's why what you battle is different one from another. And Abraham had battles, but it was still a test of his faith. Could he believe God that even in the face of growing old and getting past the age of actually being able to produce an offspring, could he still have faith to believe that he was going to have a son as God had promised? It was a test he had. Another test that Abraham had was he had got a revelation that there was a city whose builder and maker was God. And he searched for that city. And friends, in this life, he never found it. But it was a test of his faith. Would he still believe, even though he had never physically found it in this life, would he still believe that there indeed was a new Jerusalem? Oh, but one day when the battle was over, he met the king of that city, Melchizedek. Amen. And he gave him communion. Amen. He gave him bread and wine. Now, if you know, you've got to have something to overcome. You've got to have a test. I've had people come up that's been facing tests and been facing battles, and they come up for prayer. And really what they ask me to pray for them because of this battle they're facing, but really what they're wanting is they want the battle removed. God's not going to remove the battle. They want the situation removed. God's not going to remove the situation. Look at Paul. Paul prayed three times. What was it about? His eyesight. He had his eyes bothered him ever since he met the pillar of fire on the road out there. Remember, he was blind. Then God sent the man to come and pray for him that the scales be removed off his eyes so he could see again. But Paul called it his thorn in the flesh. And he prayed three times that God would take it, remove it, heal it. Friends, look, this is a man who they cut material off his clothes, laid it on sick people and they were healed. Laid it on people that were possessed with demons and they were delivered. And yet he couldn't get healing for his eyes. But what did God tell him? My grace is sufficient. In other words, Paul, this is going to be your battle. But you're going to have to overcome it. Say, no matter how big the letters are I got to write, I'm still going to write. No matter how much I can't see, God is moving on me to write these letters, to write Romans, to write Corinthians, to write Ephesians, and so on. Thessalonians, I'm still going to write. I'm still going to do it. But people want their situation removed. What do you want, Easy Street? You're not just going to coast into heaven. That's not what the Holy Ghost is given for. The Holy Ghost isn't given so you won't have tests, so you won't have hard situations, so you won't have battles. The Holy Ghost is given so you can overcome. The Holy Ghost is given so you can have victory. You say, but I keep facing the same thing, and you will until you overcome it. And once you overcome it, that ain't to say you'll never face it again. But once you overcome it, then you'll see it wasn't so hard after all. But the thing you've got to realize, friends, there is something inside of you. If you're born again, there's something inside of you that's already overcome everything. Jesus was our example. How did he overcome? By the word. Remember when he was tempted of the devil? If you be the Son of Man, Son of God, then you're hungry. Command these stones to be made bread. Jesus didn't say, Father, would you run this devil off so he'll leave me alone? That's what people want. They want God to come and run the devil off so he'll leave them alone. So they ain't got no battle. What's the matter with you bunch of Christian sissies? You're going to have a battle because we live in a world that Satan's eating. Satan is the god of this world. You don't believe it? Look at how this world is gone. Look at the shape and condition it's in. It ain't hard to be a devil and live in this world. It's hard to be a born-again believer and live in this world. That's what we're living in. Look, I'll prove it to you by the scripture. We were just talking about Jesus being tempted. Remember what the devil told him? The devil told him, he took him up to high heaven. He said, all the kingdoms of the world belong to me. Jesus never said, no, they don't. He knew they did. How did Satan get them? Because of the fall in the garden. All the kingdoms of the world belong to me. If you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give them to you. You don't worship nobody but God. What did he say? He quoted him the word. Jesus knew that all those kingdoms were coming to him. He'd have the victory, and it would all end up coming right back to him. It is written. See, the devil even can quote the Bible. It is written that he has given his angels charge over you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Said, cast yourself down off in here. He said, it's also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You know, look at it, friend. Jesus knew that if he throwed himself off of there, God wouldn't let him die, because that wasn't the way he was supposed to die. He had to take on the sins of the world and die. Remember when they were going to stone Jesus? All of a sudden they became not physically blind, but they became where they couldn't even see him, and he walked right out from their midst. That was the Father protecting him until the time. But Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. I've quoted that particular one I've quoted time and time again. When we were going through this whole pandemic thing, I quoted it because we had people left and right that, in my estimation, were tempting the Lord. Well, I've got faith. What are you saying? That anybody who died from the COVID didn't have faith? I beg your pardon. There were quite a few believers. You say, well, you couldn't go before their time. Yeah, but thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Also, in Corinthians 11, Paul, talking about the communion, said, there are some that sleep. Brother Bam said they went on before their time because they wouldn't be obedient. So I reckon you can go on before your time. Jesus overcame by the word. And that's how we've got to overcome. Our faith is our victory. Amen. And you know, the thing is, you say, well, I've been tormented by so many things, and I'm miserable, and I need deliverance. Well, then get on your knees until you break through heaven. Get on your knees until you break through the sound barrier. Friends, I ain't just making this stuff up. If you think I ain't read this, believe me, trust me, I have. If you want to know where I'm getting everything from, you can always see me after the service. Give me your email and I'll email you a copy. You got to have something to overcome. Look, I'm not going to read the scripture this morning, but we'll read it another time. But, you know, in the book of Revelations, to each and every age, there was a promise given to the overcomer. He that overcometh. Now, notice, it didn't say the church that overcometh. He, the individual. If it was talking about the church, it would have said she. But it wasn't talking about overcoming as a church. It was talking about individuals. He that overcometh shall I grant to sit with me in my Father's throne. So there's promises to the overcomer. You look, you've got to have a battle. If everything just comes to you so lazy, then where's your faith for overcoming? The Bible says they overcome him by the word of the Lord. The word of God and their testimony, the blood of Jesus Christ. You've got to overcome something. You've got to have obstacles. Abraham says this in the marriage of the Lamb. He says, the Bible says, she hath made herself ready. Now he's speaking of in Revelations, I believe it's Revelations 19, where it says, his wife hath made herself ready. And he says, we have the material on earth now to make ourselves ready. If you notice, it said, she has made herself ready. Some people say, if the Lord will take this evil spirit from me, from drinking or from gambling or lying or stealing, I'll serve him. But that's up to you, see? You got to do something too. They that overcome shall inherit all things. They that overcome. You have the power to do it, but you must be willing to lay it down. She hath made herself ready. You see, God could not push us through a little pipe and pull us out the other end and then say, blessed is he that overcometh. Now, let's just take his terminology and break it down. What does he mean by God couldn't push us through a little pipe? In other words, God puts you in a little bubble where nothing's going to bother you. You're not going to be tempted or tested by anything. Everything's just going to be just so peaceful. Everything's just going to be peaches and cream. God's not going to do that. Because if he did that, then how could he say, blessed is he that overcometh? Brother Branham said, for you had nothing to overcome. He just pushed you through. You've got to make decisions for yourself. I have to make decisions for myself. In doing that, we show our faith and respects to God. I've had people come up and pray for deliverance from cigarettes. I said, now look, God's not going to come down, yank them things out of your pocket or hand, throw them on the ground and grind them up under his foot and say, all right, you're delivered. You're going to have to lay them things down. You're the one that's going to have to throw them away. You're the one that's going to have to stop buying them. But I just got this craving. That's where you got to have the faith that he'll deliver you. But you've got to do something. God's not going to send me out there, out in the parking lot and say, all right, everybody hand in your cigarettes. You've got to do something. And it goes for everything. You've got to do something. God's not going to come down and remove the temptation. And here he's talking about not pulling us through a pipe. In other words, when you get the Holy Ghost, that's not pulling you through a pipe where you're never tempted. You're still tempted. Why? Because you still live in this stinking, rotten pest house of a flesh. the badger skin that we preached on some time ago. This flesh still feels the same desires. This flesh is still pulled by the same thing. That's why Brother Branham said in the quote I read you, he said, a red-blooded American, a red-blooded male couldn't walk before a female like that without feeling something. Why? It's the flesh. And oh, they might have got in church and felt something on their spirit and felt real good. That's why Brother Branham said, anointed in their spirit. And their spirit saying, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. But just because you have, you know, the reason you have that typos is because you need it. What do they use when they're out in the ocean, you know, in a ship? What is it they use to hold them? An anchor. If they ain't got an anchor, they'll just drift around everywhere. Ain't no telling where they'll end up. Well, we ain't had a storm lately. Let's just get rid of this anchor. No, you're going to need it. Well, I've been doing pretty good for about 2 or 3 months. You're going to need it. That's why you got it. In the time of Daniel, we read there was 4 overcomers. Isn't that right? There was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. And they were tested. Look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were tested. And look how they were tested. The image that had been erected that they were telling everybody to bow to was actually an image of Daniel, their own brother. Well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with it? Look, why, that's what the king was thinking. Why can't y'all bow and worship this thing? It's your own brother. He's a good man. He's outstanding. No. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. They knew the commandment. But they were tested. He said, all right, that's what you're going to believe. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to play the music. And when you hear the music, if you don't bow down and worship this image, then we're going to throw you in that fiery furnace. He said, now take counsel among yourselves, 3 of you. Decide what you're going to do because we're getting ready to play the music. I'm going to give you a chance. I'll be back in a minute while you look the menu over. They said, oh no, king. We don't need to take counsel amongst ourselves. Said, whether our God will deliver us or not, we don't know. Whether we'll burn or not, we don't know. But one thing we do know, we ain't bound. And if nothing else, he's going to deliver us out of your hand. We might die in the fire furnace, but we'll be delivered out of your hand. And God didn't come down and say, put on the brakes. Hold on now. Hold on now. Don't throw them in there. No, God let them get thrown in there. Not only that, but they heated it up 7 times hotter. They heated that furnace up so hot that the men that went down there to throw them in, them men died from the heat. God didn't say, oh, y'all have proved yourself now. The music played and you didn't bow, so I'm not going to have you throw it in the furnace. No, God let them go ahead and get thrown in there. That was the real test. A And so when they got thrown in there, then the king said, "Hey, look down in there and see how they're faring." Said, "They're alive and well down there." The king looked down in there and he said, "Didn't we cast 3 men in the fire? Then why do I count 4? Because God came down and walked with them. He took them through the fire. Hallelujah. Brought them out of there. Not only that, but the fire, look at this, friends. The fire, they were bound and thrown in there. But when the king looked down in there, he said, "They're not bound any longer." The fire had burned their bonds off, but didn't send you hair on their body. God's able to do that for you. But you're still going to have to go through it. You're still going to have to face them things. I'll tell you what, I've come so close, and y'all just forgive me, I hope this don't offend you, but I've come so close to time to calling out names. Because I've preached on things and people walked out of here and still, you know, still being overcome by the same thing. And I want to say, hello, this service is to you. I'm hoping that people will catch the word of God for themselves. That's God coming and speaking to you. But eventually, I know we'll all get it. It don't matter how many times we got to preach it, eventually we're all going to get it, because we got to get it if we're going to get out of here. You can't overcome unless there's a test. Look, he that cometh to God must be tried. It's got to be tested. That's what it means. When the test is given to see whether you're going to overcome or not. It's for you to see. Friends, look, when you overcome something, it strengthens you. It strengthens your faith. But you know what it is? People come up here preparing what they want. They want God to come down and do it for them. I come up for prayer and things got worse. Yeah, because that's what I prayed. God help them to overcome these situations. Now, the only way God can help you to overcome it is for the situation to continue. Not only that, but the intensity of it gets turned up many times. Look, the test is the greatest thing that ever happens to you. That's scripture. Amen. It says our trials are worth more to us than gold that's been tried in the fire. The test of our faith. Hallelujah. You know, many of you have heard the story about the lily, the pond lily. It's born, it's down in there in the muck. I don't know how many of y'all has ever, look, I grew up for a while in the country. And I grew up around a lot of farm ponds. Now, there was one pond that I knew of that was fed by a natural spring. And that water was as clear could be. But the majority of farm ponds, you know, they're muddy. Their water's murky. You can't see nothing. Don't dive down under there and open your eyes. It's murky. It's muddy. And the bottom of it is just, nasty silt mud. If you ever went swimming in one, you don't like to touch bottom. You feel that stuff just gushing up everywhere. That's nasty stuff. But that pond lily, he's down inside there in that muck and mire. But somewhere through all that murky, muddy water, there's a sun shining somewhere. And that lily is going to push itself till it makes it out into the sun. And it won't bloom until it gets out into the sun. But it's got to battle its way. It's got to overcome everything in order to come out in all of its glory. Brother Madam said the lily, that pond lily, he's a real overcomer. Hallelujah. You see, one time, you look around at Christians, it seems like they ain't got a care in the world. You think, how in the world do they do that? But one time, they might have been right where you are. They for sure would have been. And having to battle. But what you're seeing them when they've overcome. Now, just because you overcome one thing don't mean, okay, it's all over. All said and done. No, friends, we're going to battle till we get out of here. We're going to have one thing after another to overcome. The one thing, you might have one thing in your life that has just been tormenting you. And I've got news for you. When you finally, eventually overcome that, there's going to be something else to torment you. Because that's where we live. And we're in a battle. Like I said, Jesus gave us the example. People say, how can I overcome like Jesus did? How did Jesus do it? With the word and by humbling himself. Oh, here's the thing. A lot of people don't want to humble themselves. You know, somebody thinking they're making their own living, making their own way. And they get to depending on what they've been able to do and their abilities. The rug's going to get yanked out from under you because you can't trust in yourself. You can't trust in nobody else. There's only one you can trust in, and that's God. And he said, I'll have no other gods before me. If there's something else in your life you're trusting to, God will make sure that gets yanked out from under you. To where you'll have to look up to him. You'll have to look to him to trust him. Brother Adam says in the message, how can I overcome? He said, overcome means to stand the test. Jesus was tested. And in every test, he stood the test. The Bible says he was tempted in all manners such as known to man. Yet without sin. Brother Branham, he spells this out. He said he was tempted by drinking. Jesus was tempted by women. He was tempted by everything you could be tempted by. He was tempted by everything that we are. So he knows what you're going through. But you've got to humble yourself. Some people just seems like they cannot bend their knees. They go through something and they're pushing this way and pushing that way and yelling and screaming and hollering and everything else. Why don't you just bend your knees? Get down before God and say, Lord, help me. I can't do this by myself. Now, that doesn't mean God says, stand back. Let me handle this for you. Friends, I'll tell you, you don't know the times that I wanted to help people. I wanted to get down and do it for them. You ever send somebody to do something for you? And you look at them and you just want to shake your head. Oh my goodness, why are you making this so hard? I've seen mothers, you know, have their children doing something, and then finally they say, just stand aside. I'll do this. It'd just be easier if I do it. But see, God don't do that. You're going to have to do it. If God did everything for you, if he just picked you up, carried you over, and set you down on the other side, how in the world could you feel good about yourself? I was out with my brother and my mom and my brother's family and them, and we went into different stores. We were in Amish country, and we went into different stores, antique malls and all kinds of different things, stores, shopping and looking and that. And there's this one store we went into, and they had, now these were real. They had elk heads hanging on the wall that you could buy and hang in your home. They had a moose head hanging on the wall, a real one, that you could buy and go hang it in your house. They had deer heads that you could buy with nice racks on them and go hang them in your house. And I looked at all them and I said, why in the world would you want to do that? You're not the one that shot it. You didn't get it. Why would you want to hang that in your house? Now, if you've done it, it's okay. I'm not condemning you. I'm just trying to make a point. I looked at it and I thought, well, you know, it's just like, you know, with a fish. Well, if you didn't catch that thing, why'd you want to hang it in your house and deceive everybody? That's what I feel. That's my opinion. Don't make it right. But the thing about it is, how in the world, if God picked you up and said, I'm just going to carry you through and I'll put you down in heaven, how could you walk the streets of glory and feel like anything? You didn't do it. You didn't overcome. I've had people come to me and pray, brother, pray that this, I got this lustful spirit and I lust after women and I want you to pray. You know what they want? They want to quit lusting after women. Well, the only way to do that is to overcome it. How am I going to overcome it? I don't care if you got to get on your knees. I don't care if you got to pray constantly throughout the day. Here's the real thing. You can't overcome anything that you don't want to. You've got to want to overcome it. You've got to want to lay it down. You've got to come to a place where you actually hate that thing. Overcome means to recognize the devil at every one of his tricks. To overcome, you must recognize that God in you is greater and mightier than the devil is. The one that's in you has already overcome him. By his grace, you're more than a match for him. That's real overcoming when you recognize. Recognize the devil at his tricks. Now, we're human. I just preached to you not long ago about complaining. And you know, we're human. And a situation or something will come our way, and before we know it, it seems like we get sucked right into it. But when you realize that you've got sucked in by it, that's the time to stop. Take a breath step back and have prayer. People have got to overcome this thing that keeps them out of church. The devil's always going to have something to try to keep you out of church. Why? Because this is where you get your strength. Where do you get your strength from? Jerry Browning? No, from the Word of God. This is where how you get your faith strengthened. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. And how can they hear, the Bible says, unless there's a preacher? This is one thing. Brother Branham said, it's okay to miss work now and then, but don't miss church. Now, I know we have sickness of the body, things that sometimes, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the little frivolous things. Excuses, you hear them every day. And the devil, he'll supply them. If from church, you'll stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses. Well, in the summer it's too hot, and in the winter it's too cold. In the springtime, when the weather's just right, they got someplace else to go. Well, it's up to the mountain or down to the valley or to visit some old friend. Or some of the kin folks dropped in. Oh my. I've seen people that seems like they can make it to church unless kin folk drop in. Unless there's a family reunion somewhere on a Sunday. If you can't get to church, friends, there is ways to hear the service now. But I'm not talking about, you say, well, I took a vacation. Okay, fine, take a vacation. I'm not saying, you know, don't take a vacation. I only get one real true vacation, and that's when I take my vacation here in the fall, because I don't got to preach. I take vacation and go to Ohio, and I got to preach. I took time, and I used to go to West Virginia, and I had to preach. So I understand taking a vacation. That's not what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Letting something frivolous come up and us sitting at home over something frivolous. Sitting at home because the devil did something to get us upset before church time. When the devil gets you upset before church time, you know what you need to do? You need to stop and pray. Lord, here it is coming on church time, and the devil's pulled this and that and the other, and he's got us all upset and got us all tore up. Got us so tore up. You know what it does? It gets you so tore up over something, and next thing you know, he said, well, I don't even feel like going to church now. And the devil says, that's what I wanted all the time. That's what I was after all the time, to get you to not feel like going to church. Friends, you're probably not going to believe this, but there's times I don't feel like coming to church. But I come anyway. There's times you say, you know, people that haven't had to deal with this, they maybe not called a preacher, they don't understand these things, you know. And I'm going to tell you, there's always going to be some time. A preacher might go through times where it just seems like he's on fire and he can't wait to get there. But there's always going to be a time, sometime or another, when you just don't feel like going. It's like the one man got up one Sunday morning, heard Brother Dan Daisy tell this story. And he told his wife, said, I don't think I'm going to go to church today. She said, why not? He said, well, you just give me one good reason why I should. He said, the people down there don't care for me. They don't like me. He said, and you just give me one good reason why I should go. She said, well, here's your one good reason. You're the pastor. Look, we're all human. That's my point. We're all human. You know, people think, many times people get to think, well, the pastor, you know, he just always overcoming. He don't got anything to go through. You don't live with me. I'm 60 years old. I'm here to tell you, friends, and I've been pastoring for 25 years, you know, and I was an associate pastor before that, and I'm here to tell you, I got things I got to overcome. I'm human. I'm flesh and blood. I have situations. I have times I get upset. Why? Because the devil brought something around to try to upset me. And then after it's all over, you know what you feel like? You feel so ashamed of yourself. You feel like a fool. I've made a fool of myself. So what do I do, Brother Jerry? Repent. If you made yourself a fool in front of somebody, then go tell them, I made myself a fool in front of you. I'm ashamed of the way I acted. I acted wrong. The devil knows your buttons. And friends, I'm going to tell you what. He's got a devil demon somewhere that's going to push him. Brother Branham says the devil actually studies you, each and every one of you. He studies you to find your weakness. Now, how does he do that? By throwing things at you. Throwing this situation and this thought and that thought. To see how you're going to react until he finds. Look, friends, the devil's not going to, if you're not a person that's tempted by a certain thing, the devil's not going to waste his time trying to tempt you by that. He's going to find what in the world works. What causes you to be tormented? Because he's a tormentor. People that's always had money or are good money managers and they ain't never had to want for when to come a bill due or something like that, they wouldn't know what to do if they had a bill come due and didn't have money to pay it. Maybe that's somebody else's struggle. There's something. Amen. What time is it? Oh, goodness, we got to close. Let's stand. Well, I knew it was going to be a part one. I knew there was no way I was going to get through all this. I had so much notes down here that when I was studying them, I got down so far and I said, okay, we're just going to stop studying. I've got all the rest of this down here. I'm not even going to go down through it marking it because I'll never get to it. We'll mark it up later. But I got a bunch marked here that we ain't got to yet. Amen. Maybe, you know, maybe we'll preach it till we get everybody here. Till everybody gets to hear it. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning, dear God, that you will take the words that's been spoke. May it be encouraging, Lord. Father, to know that, Lord, everything that we face, you've already overcome it. And if we've had that born again experience, Lord, that new birth of the Holy Spirit living inside of us, then that Holy Spirit, it's the same Spirit. The Bible says if the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, it'll quicken your mortal bodies. And we've got that same Spirit. And that same Spirit that lives in us has overcome all these things. We've got the power. We've just got to use it. Prayer, the most powerful weapon ever given to mankind. Your prophet said it can even change the mind of God. It did one time when a king was told he was going to die by the prophet. Hezekiah, I believe it was. He was told he's going to die. Lord, he turned his face to the wall and began to pray and said, Lord, give me some more time to get everything in order. You sent the prophet back up there and said, he's give you some more time. My, the most powerful weapon. Satan can't stand up against prayer. I don't know why we hesitate to pray when we're going through things. Lord, I pray, Father, that you'll strengthen your people. Bless them today, Father. Bless them in their fellowships today, Father. Bless them when they go out to eat, Lord, and maybe go home or wherever they may be, Lord. Lord, just bless them, dear God, and bless their food, Lord. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'll bring us back here at the appointed time. I pray for those that weren't able to be here today, Father. You know the reason why. I pray, God, if it was some frivolous excuse, you'll give them a real good spanking. Lord, if it is something, Lord, legitimate, Lord God, I pray, dear God, that they'll come and hear this word and be encouraged by it. I pray, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name, amen.